welcome to the Anti-Football Podcast. My name is Chris, and as always, I am joined by Harry. And I just feel like straight away there's a topic you have to get into straight away. Because last time we recorded this podcast, Mauricio Pochettino was still in a job, and Jose Mourinho was still unemployed. Mm-hmm. But that's all reversed now, and Jose Mourinho is the new Tottenham Hotspurs manager. Harry, just, oh, what do you make of this news?
I don't like it. I don't know, with players it's different, because they've actually worn and played with a badge. Managers, the loyalty doesn't seem to be there. I mean, I suppose Chelsea did sack him.
Twice.
Well, I thought the first time he left. I don't really remember.
No,
I was like 7 or 8. Yeah, well, it seems it got off to a good start, and he's got his first home game tonight. And which statistically he tends to win, so. You know, with him being at Spurs, I just hope it doesn't work out just for the sake of it's Mourinho and it's Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it just looks weird, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like a fit. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sure Jose will establish his brand of football on that side. And he started off well. London Stadium got a 3-2 win. And that first half, Spurs were looking really good. But, I mean, defensively in that second half, they were somewhat off. Like, I mean, I'm guessing that's just because they barely had any time with Jose. But still, there was somewhat not right. They shouldn't be conceding two goals like that when they're 3-0 up.
Well, the last one was sort of last minute. So, I think that could have been down to complacency. But, the Antonio goal... There's something going on with West Ham as well. I don't know, just the Spurs, well, at least they won a game now. Is this their second win of the season? This is the fourth, Jesus.
I'm about to say, I know it's not many.
Yeah.
They're on 17 points at the moment. Sat in 10th, just broke into the top half. But the below teams like Burnley, Sheffield United and Wolves. And I mean, that's not really a position what a team who 5-6 months ago were in a Champions League final should really be in.
No, but a lot of people are expecting Mourinho to turn that round. The thing is, Mourinho in the Premier League recently hasn't done that great of a job. I mean, yes, he guided Man United to second and, you know, got onto a won the Europa League. He doesn't really have that much of a sort of entertaining style of football. It's very disciplined. And Spurs, who were pretty free scoring, that's pretty boring.
At the end of the day. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, like, if you're winning, you don't need to be entertained by football because the entertainment is the fact that you're winning. Like, I mean, Jose, like, he just brings success. Like you mentioned, that Man United team. He got that Man United team, which was terrible, by the way. Like, it was absolutely shocking. They got them to a Europa League, and he got them to finish in second. And I think he got them FA Cup as well.
League Cup, I think they beat Saints.
League Cup, yeah. Yeah, because they said they won the treble when they won League Cup, Community Shield and Europa League, which, no. But yeah, like, League Cup and Europa League, as well as finishing second in the league, that's three big achievements with a very poor Man United squad. And this Spurs side, they're a better side than what Man U were when Jose took them over. Now, obviously, he probably won't get the financial backing of Spurs like he did at...
United and Chelsea.
Man United. But I mean, it's interesting to see how we'll be able to develop the squad that he's got now. Because, I mean, look at Dele Alli. This season, Dele has looked terrible. Like, he's just looked sluggish. His passes have been going around, and he just looks like he's not trying. But under Jose, looks like a new man.
Yeah. Did he get an assist? Yeah, he did. He set up. Oh, I think he's done. I guess his early days, maybe that was just a good game for him. But I don't think Mourinho's ever come into a job like this stage of the season. Am I correct in saying that?
He's never joined a club mid-season, I don't think.
Right. And it'd be interesting to see what he can do with a club that's, you know, very stingy in the market. Because usually he likes to put his own stamp on the team.
Exactly, yeah. It's going to be a really interesting January. To see what happens, really. Because, I mean, they've brought in a couple of players over the summer. I mean, Ndombele, Lo Celso. I know Lo Celso's on loan. But still, like, they'll be playing quite a bit. They're paying quite a bit in wages for him. So they brought in a couple of players, Ryan Sessegnon as well. It'll be interesting to see about Sessegnon because Jose's not really known for bringing through the youth. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Sessegnon develops at Spurs, whether he'll just be loaned out again. It's just interesting. And, I mean, I know, as a Chelsea fan, it's going to be bittersweet for you, but I just bloody love Jose. I love him. Like, he's just such a cocky little prick. Like, and he knows it. He's like, oh, I just love him so much. Like, because he's a character at the end of the day. I'd much rather have someone like Jose than someone like fucking Pellegrini or Emery or Sarri. Like, he's just boring.
I don't know. Mourinho's lost that spark about him since he's been at United. He used to be, oh, I'm the special one. Now it's, I don't know, he looks more rugged in his look. He looks more decrepit. It's,
that's because he's getting older. End of day.
Yeah, but the personality isn't there. He doesn't look as sort of,
well, I mean, he's not exactly the most humble now. I mean, they asked him, how do you think losing the Champions League final affected the players, and he said, I don't know, I've never lost the Champions League final. So
yeah.
I mean, the football knowledge is still there. Like, at the end of the day, right, you could tell, even when he was on Sky Sports, like, the tactical awareness, like, that footballing brain, it was still there. He still has something to offer the game. Like, the way he was talking about Arsenal, for example, was perfectly summing him up. And the same with Spurs as well. Like, I just feel like, at the end of the day, he still has something to offer in the Premier League. I don't get the people who are calling him a dinosaur. And I feel like Jose, he knows he's got somewhat to prove as well. So I feel like he'll really want to sink his teeth into this Spurs job.
I just don't, I don't see this working out. From taking a historical perspective where he's had players, there's not Hazard, Pogba, De Gea. Aside from Harry Kane, who's, in my opinion, he's pretty lazy, there's not, if you know, Bayern was after you. He wants, doesn't
maybe
he
not,
want,
but I mean, they got
Ibrahimovic
into the Champions League final. We can't forget that. I mean,
who, if you know, Bayern was after you. He wants, doesn't
maybe
he
not,
want,
but I mean, they got
Ibrahimovic
into the Champions League final. We can't forget that.
Yeah, Ryan.
I'm thinking, yeah, they're in a bad position now, but the 5 months ago they were in a Champions League final. I mean, surely that's got to carry some weight.
Yeah, Ryan Bertrand was in a Champions League final also. You know, he's at Southampton now. I know the time constraints are different. I don't know, just, defence is obviously a clear problem, isn't it? I mean, he hasn't even got his first choice keeper. I don't know what the hell's happening with Alderweireld. Aurier, very hit and miss. He'll, you know, some games he's very creative, the other he's very aggressive and he'll get himself sent off. Ben Davies.
He actually looked alright in this game, though, to be fair, I thought.
Yeah, he did.
I mean,
yeah.
He has looked like the weak link quite a few times this season. But, I mean, against West Ham, I thought he played well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Ben Davies, I don't know, he just doesn't... I prefer Danny Rose. Do you?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. And Harry Winks doesn't scream Premier League player to me.
Nah.
And Eric Dyer seems a bit overhyped as well.
Well, it's funny on Eric Dyer, because, I mean, I think under Poch, yeah, maybe it won't necessarily going to work. But I think under Mourinho, I feel like he's the perfect sort of player. Sort of similar to, like, what David Luiz was for you. I feel like it could be that for Jose.
Doesn't he already play in midfield anyway? Usually.
Well, it's a weird one because I think he started out as centre back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I might be completely wrong here.
Yeah, he did at Sporting.
I think
yeah.
He started out at centre back, but then he sort of moved to midfield. But then he sort of got moved a bit back to centre back, and now he's sort of in midfield. I mean, he can play both roles fairly naturally, I think, is the point.
Yeah. But I just look at the Spurs team, there's a lack of squad depth. They have a bit of an injury crisis. They have Mourinho, who's just come off of, you know, a bad run with United. They're stuck in a bad position themselves. And January, I don't think, is going to be any better for turning around their fortunes because of the aforementioned transfer dealings that Spurs don't tend to get involved with.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the next month or so plays out for Spurs. Because, I mean, obviously, like we said, they've got Olympiacos tonight, but they've got Bournemouth next after that, Man United, Spurs, Bayern, Wolves.
What, Spurs are going to play themselves? You said Man United, Spurs, Bayern.
Man United, Burnley, Bayern.
Okay.
It's because I'm used to seeing Burnley and saying
yeah.
Burnley at home, that's why.
Jesus, that is a tough run of games. Spurs, Wolves, Chelsea. And Brighton, who smashed them 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see next month or so, because, I mean, obviously, all teams have quite a lot of games over Christmas period, so it'll be interesting to see, come 2020, where Spurs are sat.
Well, what's the max points they can accumulate?
I mean, they just looked... I don't know. I mean, they looked terrible against us, against Burnley. And I mean... It, against Spurs, they looked a bit better, but they still didn't look that great. Other than last, like, quarter of an hour.
Even if they accumulate full points, they'll only over... They'll only get one more point than Liverpool have at this stage. That's pretty bad. I think
Spurs you're on about.
Yeah. Liverpool got more points than Man United than Spurs combined.
Yeah.
I just don't see them catching up with the top four. And that's where they're expected to be.
I feel like six should be the goal for them both, but I mean you've also got, you know, you like, I think your top four is pretty much set now.
Yeah,
But I mean, you've also got, you know, the likes of Arsenal, the likes of Wolves, all be knocking on that top six door as well, trying to get Europa League. So I mean, be interesting to see. Be interesting. Just moving on to West Ham though, I mean, they looked pretty hopeless against us, and they didn't look too much better here apart from like maybe the last quarter hour. And I mean, going into the next couple of games, they've got Chelsea, Wolves, and Arsenal is the next three. Like, I mean, we could be seeing them dropping that relegation zone pretty soon. West Ham looking pretty hopeless at the moment.
Yeah, they haven't won a game since late September where they beat Man United 2-0. Since then, they've gone on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 game winless run. And for a club like West Ham, that's massive. So it kind of begs the question why they're still holding on to Pellegrini.
Yeah, it's a weird one, really. I think, I don't know, because I think, unlike Jose, he does seem a bit past it. And I feel like with West Ham, they need someone who'll be able to go in. This is just from like talking to West Ham fans. They need someone who'll be able to go in there and just shout at the players. Like, someone who'll be able to get them sorted out, get them organised. Like a sort of younger manager. And I don't feel like Pellegrini's the guy to do that. I mean, I know there've been some names linked with the job. Dyche, Howe, they've been linked with it.
That seems, I mean, a bit of a step down, given current form for those managers.
Yeah, and I think for Dyche and Howe especially, I mean, there's a couple other names we mentioned, but for those two, I think it'd be really foolish to leave. I feel like, yeah, you'd get like a bigger budget, you'd probably get paid like double the wage for both of them. But I mean, at the end of the day, for Dyche and Howe, they've basically got jobs for life.
Like, yeah,
if we got relegated, we'd stick with Dyche, and I'm sure if Bournemouth got relegated, they'd stick with Howe. But I mean, at West Ham, could be sacked within 6 months. Like, I just feel like it'd be foolish from a go, really.
But I don't know. Just who comes in for the job then? Because West Ham has spent a lot of money, and a lot of those players have not shown up. I mean, Haller looked like he was gonna sort of turn the fortunes around, and he's gone on a goalless run. He's done that a Yeti, he's done nothing. Fornals, he's done nothing. It's not a lot of money.
Just looking at some of the favourites here. I mean, we've got Rafa, is the favourite from most bookies. And then we've got people like Houghton, Howe, Lee Bowyer from Charlton, that's really surprised me. Wilder Dyche, David Moyes, whose last team was West Ham, Gracia, and then we've got, you know, names like Ancelotti, your Kovac, you know, your unrealistic ones, your Pochettino's 20-1 if you want to put a bet on him. But yeah, I think
Benitez is actually a really good shout.
Yeah, I mean, he's currently in China, isn't he? If I'm not mistaken.
But yeah, he's with Solomon Rondon.
To return to a Premier League club, he'd
But he'd take a wage cut, I expect. Which, I don't know.
Mind you, I wouldn't say he's exactly struggling for money. I mean,
no.
Spending what? He'll have been out there in China for, what, 4 months or something? I mean, he'll have earned at least a million and a half just being out there for 4 months.
I think West Ham is a good shout. Yeah.
Bowyer's an interesting one as well.
Charlton are mid-table, aren't they?
That.
Charlton and mid-table, aren't they?
Charlton. Well, they started off really well, did Charlton. They've sort of dropped off a little bit, but I mean, they're still sort of up there. pushing for playoffs. I mean, just got promoted from League One as well, right? So they started off good. I feel like I don't know, maybe it's a little bit too early for Bowyer to make that step up. I feel like,
oh, I thought you meant it was a bit early to make that managerial change.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll wait till Christmas? I think teams like Everton and West Ham, they need to change their managers. And news came out today that Marco Silva is still going to be in charge for at least this weekend. So that ended speculation.
I feel like that's the right decision, to be honest with you. I feel like you keep Silva in charge for the next 5 games or whatever, because they're all against like big clubs. They've got like Leicester, they've got Arsenal, they've got City, they've got Liverpool.
They'll be smashed by Liverpool.
And they've got Chelsea, I think.
Yeah, that probably lines up. We haven't played them yet, yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like hopefully they don't have a new manager by the Boxing Day, because that's when they play us. But after that, I think, well, maybe not even after that, but I mean, like, they've got Man City on New Year's Day. So I feel like if you get rid of Silva after that, then you've got the new manager bounce for the next few games, what are like Brighton, West Ham, Newcastle, Watford, Palace, you know, games that you should be winning. You've got the new manager bounce for them.
Yeah, but the reason I'm saying is get the managers out now is because so those managers get a feel for their team, so they know who to buy in January.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's no point sacking who they've got, because there's no point bringing someone in January. They've got no idea who's the strongest in their team and all that. They're going to buy someone who doesn't even fit in the team. Then it just leads to more problems.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. Yeah, it's a funny one, really. I don't know. I think Everton especially do need to look for a change. West Ham, I don't know. I think, yeah, probably as well. Because, I mean, for the amount of money that they've both spent and they're in the position that they are, like, I mean, you've got teams like, you know, your Bournemouths, your Brightons, your Palaces, your Newcastles, your Villas, like, all above them. Like, I mean, that's not really good enough, is it? Yeah, I mean, really been diverted from that West Ham Spurs game. In terms of actual game, the one thing what I noticed tactically that Jose did, which was Harry Kane was offside quite a lot. I think it was like 5 times he was offside. And I mean, like, that's pretty interesting that, because I mean, he wasn't really, he didn't tend to be that offside when playing under Pochettino. So I mean, that's something to point out, is that he's really playing off the shoulder of the defender, is Kane, under Jose.
He's turning from trying to be a target man to getting in behind the defence. But I don't think he's got the pace for that, nor the timing, as shown in the game. But he did get a goal, so maybe he's that. He is a natural goal scorer anyway, so.
Yeah, and I mean, it's sort of similar to, I mean, systems we've seen in the past. I mean, you're more familiar with Jose's tactics than me. I mean, was that something you noticed during his time at Chelsea, that his strikers were often offside a lot?
Yeah, Alvaro Morata was. He was very much. I don't know why he did that. Maybe it was sort of to try and deter the defence into, you know, trying to mark him and then leaving the wingers free. Which I guess worked because Son and Lucas both got a goal. So, I mean, I guess it only works if you've got good wingers. Like, he had Hazard and Willian at Chelsea. He's got Son and Lucas here. And it does help that he's got a goal scorer up top rather than crappy Alvaro Morata.
I mean, how much did you spend on him? Like, 60 million or something?
Yeah, but we made it back, so.
The Didier Drogba replacement, he was not.
No. That's Tammy Abraham, it seems.
I mean, have you got anything else you want to add on to this game, or are we going to move on?
We didn't see part of the bus.
Oh, we didn't, funnily enough.
No.
I feel like that's sort of a stereotype, though, for Joe, those sort of teams. I mean, he only really does that in big games, like big games. And I mean, to be honest with you, I don't blame him for doing it. Like, because it works at the end of the day.
Did you see when he got announced that Spurs put a big white bus outside the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium?
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to add.
Interesting note as well. Sorry, I'll just add this as well. Eriksen started on the bench as well. So I feel like, yeah, that's one to keep an eye on, maybe, is how Eriksen reacts to that. And whether we see any movement in January from Eriksen. That'll be an interesting one.
Doesn't he like his central midfielders typically quite tall? Hence why he liked Matic and Fellaini. So I guess a bit of a height issue. Hence why he's probably playing Eric Dier in the field then.
Yeah. I mean, thing is, Eriksen, he is technically probably Spurs' best player. But I mean, he's not turned up this season at all, has he?
Oh my God, did you see him in that game against Ireland? He was awful.
Yeah, he was. I don't know what's happened to him, to be honest with you. It was the right decision to start him on the bench, I think. But I feel like I definitely feel like there'll be some clubs sniffing around in January for him. And I won't be surprised to see him go, to be honest with you. The way Jose is sort of treating him.
I mean, there's rumours that Real Madrid want him, and I don't think he's good enough for Real Madrid. I think he'd do well back in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you asked me this in June, if you said, is Eriksen good enough for Real Madrid, I would have said yes, 100%. But I mean, he's just not turned up at the end of the day. And I mean, with some other midfielders that Spurs have got, you know, like Sissoko, Lo Celso, and Ndombele will be coming back from injury soon. Like, I don't think Jose has a spot in the team for Eriksen. And I mean, I could see him going to a team like Bayern Munich. I feel like in the Bundesliga he'd be a good fit.
Yeah. Coutinho's only there on loan, so yeah, that could make sense, yeah. Should we get into the 3 o'clock games?
Yeah, we can do. We got a preference?
Let's go Arsenal Southampton.
Let's go Arsenal Southampton then. Now Southampton are a team who, let's not forget, about what, a month ago, lost 9-0 at home. 9-0. And it took Arsenal a 96 minute goal to scrape a draw past them, what probably wasn't deserved.
That is very true. I thought Saints should have won this. Danny Ings always turns up in the big games, and he did that in the early goings, getting a goal. I can't believe that this was the team that lost 9-0 just 4 games ago, almost beat Arsenal, who are, you know, sort of floating around the top 6. That's insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Danny Ings, I mean, that's his 6th goal in Premier League this season. I mean, he's really hit ground running at Saints. To be honest with you, I could see him moving to a sort of bigger club, you know, like your Everton's, your West Ham's, your Wolves. Especially Wolves, I think he'd be a good fit there. I could see him making a step up. I feel like maybe when he moved from Burnley to Liverpool, probably too big of a step up. Especially with his injury problems as well. But yeah, I mean, he's a really good striker on his day, is Danny Ings. And yeah, Saints, I mean, they didn't have much, well, they didn't have the majority of the ball, I wouldn't say. I don't know official stats, so I'm not going to tell you.
No, the stats were Arsenal had 61%, Saints had
39%. Yeah, so I mean, you could tell they didn't have quite a lot of the ball. But I mean, what they did, they used it effectively. They probably made more chances than Arsenal did.
Yeah, they did,
and,
yeah.
I mean, Arsenal, yeah, I mean, they're playing five at the back at home against Southampton. Like, benching Nicolas Pepe, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's not exactly been the best.
This game, you want to get him going to boost that morale, get some goals in him.
Exactly, yeah. At the end of the day, he cost you $72 million. He's the most expensive signing in your club's history. Like, he's probably going to stay that for a long time. Like, I just feel like odd, really odd. I feel like this wasn't the game for Mesut Ozil either. I feel like, yeah, he was alright, but I feel like someone like a Joe Willock or a Reece Nelson maybe would have made more of an impact there, just more energy for Arsenal, because that was what they lacked at the end of the day. It was just typical Wenger ball, where they just lacked energy.
Yeah, I'd completely agree. And it's that same old Arsenal sort of style of play where they're trying to walk it in, dominating the ball, just doing nothing with it. 96th minute for them to grab an equaliser against probably one of the worst teams we've ever seen in Premier League history.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the that Derby team, what I mean is the other team, really, what you'd compare them to. I mean, they're a bit better than that. I mean, the Sunderland team, what got relegated, they're probably a bit better than that. You look at that Aston Villa team, what got relegated, I wouldn't say they're too far off that. And they were terrible. Like, they just don't look good, the Southampton. I mean, they're sitting in 19th, 4 points off safety. I mean, they just don't look like turning it around. I feel like these next two games are absolutely vital for Southampton.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Watford at home and Norwich at home. Those are two must-win games. If they don't win those two games, Southampton, they are going down.
Yeah, I'd agree. And that's probably what this club needs, to get a real kick up the arse and change their board, bring in players that... They need to stop relying on that academy, because that gold mine is run out. They need to start bringing in established players, and not players from the bloody Polish league that are never even gonna. And they keep loaning out some of their best players to teams like Inter Milan and that, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, when you've got teams like Inter Milan, who are a Champions League side, like, looking at some of your players on loan, then maybe you should be thinking, these players are actually decent. Maybe we should play them. Like, it just doesn't make sense. As for Arsenal, though, I mean, people are on about Unai leaving, and I feel like he probably should for Arsenal. And I know this won't happen, but do you know who would be the perfect man for Arsenal at the moment? After Jose's gone, it would be Poch, because Poch took that Southampton side and he raised them. He took that Spurs side, he inherited loads of crap players, and he raised them. Like, I feel like that's what he'd do at Arsenal. I feel like both Arsenal and Man United, who we'll get onto in a little bit, I feel like they need to both really go after Poch. I mean, obviously he won't go to Arsenal. I feel like he's got too much loyalty to Spurs for that. But, I mean, he just feels like the perfect manager. I mean, if you look at the odds, what next Arsenal manager have, they've got the top three being Allegri, Nuno Santo, and Mikel Arteta. Now, I mean, Arteta, he's not been a manager before. Would you really want to hand it to him? I know he's been under Pep, but maybe you'd think you'd want him to get a job first, at least. Santo, I can't see leaving. And Allegri's a bit of a wild card, you don't know what he's going to do. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens at Arsenal, whether they stick with him till the end of the season or whether or not they decide to make a change.
Would Arsenal fans accept a Spurs manager?
I don't think they would, really. I mean, me saying that, it's going to anger a couple Arsenal fans, if there are any Arsenal fans listening. But I mean,
I do agree with that, though. Yeah.
I just feel like he'd fit him. He's a better fit than Jose is at Spurs, definitely. Is Poch at Arsenal. I mean, it won't happen. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it will happen. But I feel like he'd be able to really elevate that side.
Arsenal just got really shitty owners that, for a club that massive and for the amount of money they've got, they don't spend a lot and they don't give sufficient budgets to these managers. It won't be long until they're, you know, sort of bouncing around mid-table because teams like bloody Sheffield United are spending more than them.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't have an owner what cares about the club, like, it don't matter how much money they've got, like, you're not going to succeed. Like, I mean, it's so frustrating as a Burnley fan, because, I mean, Mike Garlick, I think, he's either the poorest or the second poorest owner in the Premier League. He's only got, like, I say only, he's worth, like, 50 million quid. Like, so we're never going to go out and spend loads of money. Like, we're never going to be able to do that. But the one thing that Garlick will not do is he won't bankrupt the club and he won't make shitty decisions like based on profit, because he's from Burnley, he cares about Burnley, and I'd much rather have that than someone like Stan Kroenke, who, yeah, he might spend a bit of money every now and then, but at the end of the day, he couldn't give a toss about Arsenal. Like, owners have to care about the club, whether that's an owner like Abramovich, who has so much money and he cares about Chelsea, or whether that's Garlick, who has no money but he really cares about Burnley.
Yeah, I've just checked. You are the second in, you know, sort of quotations, poorest clubs. The first is Norwich, which has Delia Smith, who only has 30 million.
You say only.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more than both of us are going to make in his entire lives, but
that's a lot for a bloody chef as well.
Yeah.
I mean, how much does bloody Gordon Ramsay make? He could probably buy Rangers.
That's curious, because he's got loads of shows, doesn't he, Gordon? He's always doing summer. I'll just have a look at that, actually, because that's going to bug me if I don't look at that.
100 million, apparently.
100 million? PCL, 220 million. That's what I've seen. Jesus Christ.
He could buy Rangers, then. I know he's a Rangers fan.
Yeah, he is. He used to play for him, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he got, like, some sort of bad injury. He's a Chelsea and a Rangers fan, as far as I know.
One of those. Like, two clubs, yeah. Some wankers. I'm just reading Gordon's Wikipedia page. It says, children, 5, including Matilda. What, do the others not matter then?
How was that one then?
Odds what?
How was Matilda then, that the other two don't matter?
I don't know. She's 18. Oh, she has her own show as well, that's probably why.
Oh, okay.
The two. They don't make any money, so they don't matter.
Yeah, essentially, I think Gordon Ramsay spends more than Arsenal.
Yeah. I mean, most clubs do at the end of the day. I mean, it's just, well, I'm not going to say annoying because it's funny. But I mean, like, it's got to be annoying for Arsenal fans, knowing that your owner has that much money and they just won't spend it.
Yeah. Anyway, straight away from Gordon Ramsay. I don't know, this, it seems like this Southampton team does have it in them to accumulate points. But
yeah, they don't look completely spineless like they did against Leicester.
I think against Leicester it was a case of they completely gave up on themselves after 3-0. And being down to 10 men didn't help. But I wouldn't sack the manager because he seems to be, you know, really good. And it's the players that are at fault.
Mm. Yeah, I'd agree there.
Shall we move on to your team? Which, I think...
Yes, we'll move on. I mean, the most entertaining team in the league. I mean... Who else can say the last three games were 3-0s? Like, oh, just, I mean, I will say, to start off with, 3-0 was probably a bit flattering. I mean, we did deserve the win in the end, I do think. But, I mean, 3-0 probably was a bit too much. First half, not really of note. I mean, Delafeu was a good, tricky player. I mean... He really got the best of Tarkowski in that first half. And graded fuck all. cheers for 18 million quid for him. But yeah, I just feel like at the end of the day, we took our chances more. And I mean, it ended up being three set piece goals that got given. And again, we just played to our strengths at the end of the day. Like, I told you. Bringing back Charlie Taylor would make a difference. It really has done on that left hand side. McNeil and Taylor linking up well again. And yeah, I mean, can't really hold them at fault, really. It was just a really good performance and a really clinical performance as well, doing what we're good at. I will say about the penalty, I do think it was a penalty. That's what VAR should be for. I know I'm being really fucking biased when I say that, but that's what VAR should be for, is if the referee has made a mistake, you go back and look at it, and you pull it back. Like, what were your thoughts on that penalty? Because, I mean, I'm obviously biased, but I thought that was a penalty.
Yeah, I'd say it was a penalty as well. But I think you should have had a goal slightly before that when Jay Rodriguez hit the bar from not that far out.
Oh yeah, when Gerard hit the bar, that was a real miscommunication from I think it was Cathcart and Foster. God, that would have been a good goal that. But yeah, I just feel like Watford didn't look terrible. They didn't look terrible like they did when they lost 8-0 to City or whatever.
But they dominated possession. Look like a team which is probably something that Burnley would work on. Although they did win 3-0, so... Well, Watford dominated possession.
Well, that's our tactic at the end of the day, is we let the opponents have more of the ball. Right? At the end of the day, that's our style.
Wait, who have you got next? You have got...
It is... Oh, Palace, isn't it?
Yeah, you got Palace, City, then Spurs. Don't think you'll be seventh for long.
I mean, we can get someone from Palace, I think. Maybe even 3 points. But City and Spurs, I'm not holding out too much hope. It's the next three games after that. Newcastle, Bournemouth and Everton. Now, we always seem to beat Bournemouth. And it's the Newcastle and Everton games what will really be crucial, because I mean, going into New Year, got some really hard games. Got Man U, got Chelsea, we've got Leicester, we've got Man U again, and we've got Arsenal. So yeah,
you're playing us at the bridge.
Some points there.
I hope that you beat Spurs, but So maybe you could pick up 6 out of 9. Well, yeah. I do more so because I hate Spurs. City seemed to struggle against
Burnley more than you hate Spurs.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't know. Man City seemed to struggle against the smaller teams. Maybe because they underestimate them. Then it comes to bite them on the arse. Aguero's injured at the moment. So that could be another major factor.
Aguero's so fucking good. Like, genuinely. Like, how people can, like, genuinely say he's not the best Premier League striker. Like, of the decade, at least. Like, I've no idea.
Yeah, I put him in my Premier League team in the decade, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's better than Kane for me. For me, personally, there's only one striker in world football that's better than him at the moment, and that's Lewandowski. Like, there's no other striker that can touch Aguero at the minute. Well, maybe Ronaldo, actually. But, I mean, for
Messi?
Me, like, he's top three in the world, definitely.
Well,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Against Man City, we either give him a really tight game and get some up, or we lose 5-0. So, I mean, it's always one of the two we see. Spurs as well. I mean, last season, we got a win, which basically put them out of the title race at home, and we almost held on for a draw. It was a 90th minute goal from Eriksen, I believe it was, away. But, yeah, we did all right against Spurs. So, I'd be interested to see whether we can get out at the new White Hart Lane. But yeah, I mean, after that, I think it's the more crucial games. I mean, Newcastle at home, last season we were absolutely shit against Newcastle twice in a row. And Bournemouth, we always beat Bournemouth. I don't know what it is about them, but we always beat them. Like, last season, like, we were in the middle of our worst run in ages. Like, I think we'd only won one game 3 months in, and that was when we beat Bournemouth 4-0. Like, we're absolutely terrible, but we still spanked Bournemouth. Like,
should we? Hang on, wait. That's what I want to talk about. Yeah, continue. I don't know what I was going
to
say there.
Yeah. Might have got a Liverpool game.
Well, I was going to say about Watford.
Alright, yeah, go on then. I mean, Delafeu looked good, but take Delafeu out of that side, and you've got a Championship side at the end of the day. Like, they didn't look bad, but they don't have a Premier League side.
That is mad, considering that Decore was touted front by PSG.
Yeah, and I mean, spent a lot of money on that team as well. I mean, like I said, Andre Gray cost them just under 20 million. Like, Hughes cost them a pretty penny from Derby. Like, they just didn't seem to be able to string two passes together at the end of the day. They were just relying on long balls to Delafeu, who, if he got on end of them, made a really tricky run and forced the save out of port. But at the end of the day, that were their only real form of attack. Like, you couldn't really create or else.
Hang on, I'm just going to double check this. Hang on. Just doing a bit of maths here.
Oops, from...
They had a better pass succession than you. By a good 10%.
Oh, fucking hell. Actually, we tend to make less passes anyway, though.
Yeah, you'd made 151 less passes.
Yeah, well, that's our style, though, isn't it? Like,
you also had less of the ball, which makes sense.
I know it's an excuse, really, but our tactics are reliant on crosses, like getting out to wing and getting a ball into the box. Like, I mean,
you had less dangerous attacks than Watford as well. you had
less what dangerous attacks.
Yeah, so attacks that could have.
That's bollocks.
No.
How the fuck do you make dangerous attacks a stat?
Apparently, Watford had 67 out of 84. You had 30 out of 74.
What the fuck is that?
That's what site I'm on.
Jesus Christ, Harry. Like, have you just made that up on the spot? I won't be surprised.
It's a genuine stat.
It's a genuine stat.
On this site I'm on.
Expected goals. Like, Jesus Christ.
I don't get that stat even. What is expected goals?
I mean, at this point, I'm too scared to ask what it is.
I just DM'd it.
Obviously, Watford must have dominated the game because they had more dangerous attacks than us.
They had more goal attempts. Less shots on target.
Mate, you've just sent me that. Jesus Christ. 67 dangerous attacks. What the fuck are you like? This is actually getting me annoyed. Like, genuinely. Dangerous attack. What are they on about? Absolute bollocks there. Because we were much more dangerous than them going forward, I'd say. Like, we forced Foster to make some good saves. Like, we hit the bar as well.
Yeah, but that counts as an off-target shot.
Yeah, I know. So, like, I think we were more dangerous going forward, personally. Like, Watford, they were having shots, but they were, like, from range. They weren't really much danger. And that's what we want. That's what we want at the end of the day.
Until one goes in.
Force teams to have shots from outside the box, because that's our tactic with the low block defence. And going forward, we can afford to give teams more of the ball, because then we're dangerous on the counter-attack. McNeil running down wing, getting a crossing, getting Wood's head on it, or getting Barnes' toe on the end of it. Like, we can afford to give teams more of the ball. Because at the end of the day, we don't need it, because we won 3-0.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of, you know, the stats that we've mentioned, the one that matters is you won 3-0, you collect all 3 points.
Yeah.
And Watford, despite all these attacks they had, made nothing of it.
The dangerous attacks they had. It's fucking bollocks.
Well, it just shows their lack of clinicality up top. And also, it says Pope. What, clinicality? That's a word. Oh, I'm just going to check now.
Clinicality. I've certainly never used the word clinicality.
Yes, it's a word. The quality of being clinical. Yeah.
Clinicality.
Yep.
Well, with that clinicality, we'll clinically move on to Palace and Liverpool. Might as well. I mean, a controversial game. I mean, what did you make of all the overturned goals, the VARs? Before we get into the actual match, we'll just go into all the VAR controversies.
I will sum it down to 2 letters. BS. I feel like Liverpool, yet again, it's that luck that's coming through, and that's going to end up winning the league. Shocking.
Yeah, I feel like it. I don't know. Like, because at the end of the day, you need luck to be able to win the league. Like, that's just a fact. And I mean, it was lucky that they got overturned. I mean, at Palace, I mean, they didn't look bad because, like, they hit the bar as well.
Wilfred Zaha actually did something. Oh my god.
Yeah, I know. He actually scored for once. I mean, to say that we've been banging on about him all season, I mean, he's putting a good performance here. I mean, they look dangerous to Palace, like, and that just shows when Zaha actually plays well, like, Palace play well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It just feels like they've got everything behind them, the Liverpool. Yeah, it's just, it feels like everything's going Liverpool's way. In terms of the actual match, even, I think a draw probably would have been a fair result. I don't think either club would have been complaining at that.
I'd agree with that, yeah. I'm a little bit, that's twice this season I feel like Liverpool have picked up more points than they should, and that's the game that happened against Sheffield United where complete miscommunication at the back led to the goal and this one.
Yeah,
but I mean, even then, if you subtract those points, they're still top of the league, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're just going to run away with it, really, at the end of the day. I mean, yeah, it just feels like, it's done, really. I feel like the top four itself is probably wrapped up as well. Yeah, it's looking more likely that the relegation battle will probably be more exciting than the push for top four and push for title, because I can't see anyone coming close to Liverpool at the moment, really.
Yeah, I agree. Liverpool have got Brighton next. Oh, Brighton, Everton and Bournemouth, and they've got Napoli tomorrow night. Yeah, they both pick up points there.
I'll just say about Palace, they're really in a bad run of form. I mean, everyone's talking about managers leaving. Could Hodgson be in trouble? I mean, the last game that Palace won was the beginning of October. So that's 2 months without a win for Palace.
Yeah, have you seen the teams that they've played?
I was about to say, but the five games that they have played have been Man City, Arsenal, Leicester, Chelsea and Liverpool.
So, yeah, I mean, he gets really a pass. No.
I mean, they've been winning the games they probably should be winning. Apart from maybe the Sheffield United game, although that's arguable, and they've been losing the games they probably should be losing. So,
yeah, they're not in any sort of trouble. They're 5 points off of relegation. So, should we move on to another game?
Yeah. Was there any other game Saturday at 3 o'clock? I can't remember.
Yeah, you got Brighton, Leicester, yeah, and Everton, Norwich.
Yeah, PCL. And pissing Bournemouth game as well, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, Bournemouth.
PCL. I mean, it just shows how memorable they were, really. We've got Leicester, Brighton. Brighton, no shots on target. Leicester just looking good as always. I mean, we'd just be repeating the same things about Leicester. They are looking so good, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They've got such a good team.
Maybe the sort of most talkative moment was the penalty. Not the incident that led up to it, but the retaking of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird one. I mean, Madison scored the rebound anyway, so it didn't really make a difference, apart from people on the fantasy league. But yeah, it was just a weird one.
No, that wasn't given.
It was for keeper not being online, I think.
Yeah, he saved it, and then they penalised Madison for encroachment, but then they realised, oh wait, Brighton are doing that as well, so they just ordered a retake, which Vardy actually put away.
Exactly.
You say you would have probably lost points on Vardy missing the penalty. But that was a bit of a strange incident.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I'm just looking at this Leicester team here. Like, it's not even a case of Leicester punching above the weight at this point. Like, you look at that team, they're better than Man United, they're better than Arsenal, and they're probably better than Spurs as well. Like,
yeah.
But it's not even a case of them punching above the weight. They are genuinely like a good enough team to finish in that top four at Leicester.
Yeah, the only questionable player in that starting 11, in my opinion, is Harvey Barnes. Other than that, absolutely no issues.
I'd argue maybe Johnny Evans as well. I mean, it maybe seems like a bit of a stretch to call Evans. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's nowhere near as good as Soyuncu, and he's not as good as Harry Maguire either, to be honest with you. And he's getting up there as well. Isn't he like 32 or something, Evans?
He's 31, but he'll turn 32 in early January.
Ah, right. And I mean, obviously, he picked up an injury as well. And Wes Morgan has stepped in. I feel like that's one thing that this Leicester team probably does lack, is a bit of depth. I mean, you look at the bench, and you've got the likes of Ian Acho, Albrighton, Wes Morgan, Damari Gray.
I like Dennis Pryor.
He's not a bad player. But I mean, if you compare him to, you know, your likes of who you've got now, you've got your Tielemans, your Madisons, your Ndidis. Like, he's nowhere near as close like that.
No. Did you put Demarai Gray in that sort of? Because did you say Demarai Gray isn't a good winger, or?
He's all right. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's still young. Isn't he?
He's only 23.
22, something like that.
23, it says.
He's still got a lot of time to develop. Sort of like Barnes as well. I mean, Barnes is only good. He's all right to bring off the bench, but you wouldn't really want to be starting him, would you?
Well, I don't really rate Barnes too much. I think they're on par with each other.
I disagree with you there. I think I do like Barnes. I feel like he's really sort of stepped into his own. I feel like at West Brom, he was a really good player, and I feel like he's really sort of made the step up now. I mean, yeah, he just seems like a really good winger. I mean, here's the thing. Does he look out of place in that Leicester team? I'd argue that he doesn't. Right? And for a top four club, like, if you're not up to scratch, you're going to look out of place. And I don't think he did, personally.
Okay. I don't know, he just... I'll give him a pass. He's only 21. He'll be 22 next month. So, I'll let that one go.
He's got talent.
Yeah. Should we get into Everton Norwich?
Yeah, we can do.
Probably shock of the day.
Picking up a win. First win in ages.
Since the Man City game?
I think a draw probably would be a fair result. This could really help them maybe start to kick on a little bit, Norwich, because, I mean, they're not a bad side. Like, they're probably a championship side, but they're not a bad side. And, I mean, at the end of the day, you pick up a good run of form, like, if they can pick up points in the next, like, three or four games, like, they could seriously make a push. I mean, next couple of games, I mean, they're going to be really hard for them. I mean, they've got Southampton, yeah, but they've also got, like, Arsenal, Sheffield United, Leicester, Wolves. I feel like the sort of period where they need to be picking up points sort of comes around about the April time, where they've got Brighton, Watford, West Ham, they've got Burnley at home. Like, they're the sort of games where they need to be picking up points. But I think the problem is for Watford, not for Watford, for Norwich, is they've already had a lot of games where they should have been picking up points and they sort of haven't done. Like, for the position, for trying to stay up anyway. Like, I mean, yeah, they beat Newcastle, but I mean, lost to West Ham, lost to Burnley, lost to Palace, got absolutely slapped by Villa, drew against Bournemouth, lost against Brighton, and they lost against bloody Watford. Like, I mean, if they'd just won, like, one or two of those games, like, if they'd have beaten Watford, and they got a win against Bournemouth, or, like, they got a draw against Brighton or something, I don't know, then they won't be in relegation zone. Like, it just feels like they rely a bit too much on Pukki, and when he's not firing, like he's not now, like, there's not really sure what to do. Now, I mean, Everton didn't really help themselves here. They really helped Norwich in this sort of situation, because at the end of the day, they allowed Cantwell to get in behind defence, and it was an easy goal, really.
Mm-hmm.
And Sir Bennett, who's not a star at all, like, he manages to get a goal as well. Like, I mean, Everton just look a bit shit, don't they? Norwich, they don't look much better, but they do look better, so.
They've got a real problem on their hands, Everton. I think they need to change manager. I was going to say they need to spend more money, but for where they are, they've spent a lot of money.
Yeah, that's probably the problem with Everton, is they spend too much money. Like, they just need to have faith in the squad they've got and stick with them for a bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of chop and changes. I mean, they haven't really given that Gabamon much of a chance. He's only played 2 games. And I wouldn't be surprised if players like Dinier sort of leave next month, well, January, to a club that's sort of much higher up on the table.
I won't be surprised. I mean, I don't know. Like, they're definitely going to lose a few key players, if not in January, in the summer. And yeah, I just feel like they've got to sort of stick with the core that they have, and maybe trust in the players that they have. Because, I mean, if you look at the team that they have, like, that's a pissing good team. Like, they should not be in the position where they are. So what they need to do is just stick with the team that they've got. Stop spending money, let some of the younger players develop, like, and just build your way up the league. Like,
and start Moise Kean.
Because they are a mid-table club at the end of the day now. Like, they're not pushing for top six. They're not pushing for Europe. They're pushing for pissing top half at the moment. They're a mid-table club that has spent a bit more money than other mid-table clubs. And they need to realise that, Everton. And they need to be able to sort of build on the squad that they have. Not physically with money, but mentally. Just stick with it and ride the wave. That's what they need to do.
And start Moise Kean.
Ace. Wait, what the fuck is Cheick Tosun going to do? Like, Jesus Christ, he's been there for what? Like,
3 years, yeah.
4 years? Like, yeah, but he won't be there 4 years. He'll be there about 2 or 3. He's done now. Has he even scored for Everton?
Apparently he scored once. He scored against... Oh yeah, he scored in the last minute against Spurs. That was when Gomez got injured.
Is that enough to warrant a start over one of the hottest youngsters like in Europe last season and one of your own academy grown like strikers? Like, is that enough to warrant a start over him? I don't think so. I feel like a change in system is probably what's needed, to be honest with you. I feel like Richarlison doesn't work best out wide. I feel like you should go with a 2-striker formation, Richarlison and Keane up front, then maybe, I don't know,
Sigurdsson in behind,
Iwobi and I don't know, Sigurdsson out on the wing, maybe Walcott
play sort of a... sort of a 4-1-2-1-2.
Maybe something like that, yeah. But I just feel like they need to change somewhere that isn't the players, for once, Everton.
Yeah. I mean, their top scorer is... from strikers, is Calvert-Lewin with 3.
And I mean, that's just woeful, really. Like, no excuse for that.
Timo Pukki's got more, as many assists as Calvert-Lewin has goals. That's bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's just... It's not excuse. There's no excuse for it, really. End of day. I just feel like they're really, you know, they need to do something at Everton, and I feel like sacking manager is the way to go. End of day. And I mean, I'm not an advocate for sacking managers, but they're going to have to do it. End of day.
Yeah. I feel like I'm used to managers being sacked just because I'm a Chelsea fan. And I feel like the Norwich game was probably the shock of the day. And yeah, Saints being Arsenal on paper would have been a shock, but given how the game was played, yeah, that the Saints should have won that.
Should have won Southampton.
Is that all the three? Oh no, we've got Bournemouth Wolves.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't really pay much attention to this match. I mean, it's alright.
Yeah.
It looks like Wolves probably deserved the win.
Bournemouth.
The red card.
It was two yellows,
it was two
yeah.
Yellows. There were probably two fair yellows, I'd say.
Yeah, just... that's an expected result, probably. Should we get into the half five games?
About, really.
No. Should we get into the half five game?
Yeah, go on. Talk about yeah, Chelsea. Ended up losing 2-1 to Man City, but I mean, a valiant effort from Chelsea. Didn't roll over, and you played some decent football. To be fair to you, just in the end, City managed to get the win, but you weren't humiliated.
Oh, yeah, I thought we were going to be. Kante's goal was probably a bit lucky, to be fair. And that Mahrez goal, there was no stopping him. I got a little bit pissed off when De Bruyne scored, because I know just him being a former Chelsea player, and I don't know, it just sort of rubbed me in the wrong way, but I guess... He plays for City now, so doesn't really matter. And probably one of the most boring second halves I've probably seen from Chelsea. Just didn't do anything.
Yeah, it was pretty boring. I mean, especially as a neutral as well. Like, it was more boring than the first half of Watford Burnley, and that's saying something. I mean, it's not really. I mean, I think in the end. Probably a deserved win from City, but I mean, they didn't make it easy for them. I mean, they had some good chances, did Chelsea. Just shame they couldn't really finish them.
What do you make of the the offside that was late on?
I mean,
and put offsides in.
Think yeah. First off, you've got to ignore the line. Because, I mean, I've showed you the picture of it, haven't I? Of the line, what?
Yeah.
It looks like it's... It looks like it's just two completely different lines. I mean, I'll probably end up tweeting about it on his official Twitter account, at AntiFootballPod, if you want to follow us. And, I mean, if you look at it there, it'll be up now. It's just... The line looks completely, like, different. I mean... At the end of the day, I looked at it just with my eyes without the line, he probably was a little bit. It probably was a tiny bit offside. It was a hair offside. But I mean,
what the fuck is that line? I'm just looking at the image again.
I mean, yeah, he probably was offside, actually, thinking about just looking at it now. I mean, end of the day, VAR's joke, really. Because, I mean, whether you think it was offside or not, that line was bollocks.
Yeah, it looks like a bloody... What is that line? It goes straight, and then you can see some sort of... Yeah, it goes straight, and then you can see some sort of, like, pixelated, crappy second line. Just trying to justify...
It goes straight into his shoulder, and then it comes out of his...
Yeah, it's like light refracting or some shit. That is strange. Where did you see that to, or did you notice that yourself?
I just saw the photo of the actual offside, and I was just looking at it, and I thought, them lines aren't connected. So I just zoomed into it, and I was like, them lines aren't pissing connected.
It's a major problem. I mean...
Yeah?
What other... I wonder if they've done that before, just to sort of get, I don't know, it makes you question, yeah.
I mean, it won't surprise me. I mean, some of the lines have looked a bit suspect in terms of the straightness. It just looks like the hand-drawn lines that end up there. It don't look like the computer generated.
No, yeah, I agree. It's very sus. But at the end of the day, just being a Chelsea fan, you know, City were going to get the 3 points anyway. I don't think it would have mattered if it stood or not. Chelsea weren't going to pick up anything. So, yeah. Well, I knew we were going to lose beforehand. I thought we were going to be hammered. So losing 2-1, I'd take that.
It looks respectable, doesn't it, 2-1?
Mm-hmm. And we have... Who have we got this weekend? We've got West Ham. We've got Valencia tomorrow, which is a must-win game.
Really.
Yeah. Should we get into the Sunday game?
Yeah, can do. I mean, Sheffield and Man, the two Uniteds. I started that and I fucked it up, so I just ended it. I mean, United just looked shit, didn't they? I mean, they scored 3, but they looked shit at the end of the day.
Yeah. I'm just a little disappointed that Sheffield United did bottle a 2-0 lead. And John Fleck is a very... not John Fleck. Lundstrom is a very underrated player.
I feel like... As a midfielder, he's definitely the strongest of the three centre mids that Sheffield United have. I mean, against us, he played really well. I mean, he was more of a centre-back as well, wasn't he, in the Championship? He sort of moved into midfield now, probably because he was pushing too far forward. But yeah, it's funny because, like, he's a really good player, is Lundstrom. But yeah, like, they really shouldn't have conceded those 3 goals, Sheffield United. they looked like the Man United just didn't look like scoring at the end of the day. And I mean, when they scored 3 in 7 minutes, like that is poor from Sheffield United.
They went sick.
I don't care what you say, that is poor defending to concede 3 in 7 minutes.
Yeah. And they couldn't play their usual goalkeeper because she's on loan from Man United, so they had to go with their second choice, who obviously didn't do a good job.
Yeah, I mean, Henderson has been really good for him, to be fair. But, I mean, Man United just don't look dangerous. I mean, I know they scored 3, but they don't end up there. Like, they shouldn't be focusing on those 15 minutes where they looked good. They should be focusing on them 75 minutes where they really didn't. Like,
mm-hmm.
At the end of the day.
I mean, just looking at the stats, it does seem level, but
it wasn't.
You know, Sheffield went.
United by far the better team.
Yeah. And Ollie McBurney getting a goal later on to salvage a point is not a fair reflection of the game.
It shouldn't have got to that point for Sheffield United, really.
Yeah, I agree.
It was just a poor 10 minutes for them, really. Which is weird, because defensively they've been really solid. Because I feel like that's something that Sheffield United do really well. It's not just defensive work, but I mean the fact that they just restrict people's chances. Like,
they have the third best defence in the league.
Scramble to make clearances or scramble to make saves, because they're not giving people the chances to shoot in the first place. They're making teams look worse than they actually are.
Yeah. Who have they got? They've got Wolves this weekend.
Well, that'd be a good game, that.
What, Sheffield United Wolves?
Yeah. Well, 6th versus 5th.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, 2 in-form teams.
And Man U play Aston Villa, who I think can beat them. Jesus, they've nearly got a tough run of games. They got Spurs, then City.
Man U.
Mm-hmm. Sheffield United have got Wolves, Newcastle, Norwich, then Villa. So they can definitely continue that great run of form. They don't actually have a tough game until City, which is the very last game of the year. So they could potentially be 5th, which would be an amazing feat for a promote side.
Oh yeah, and I feel like I just really hope that it does happen as well, because I mean, last season, as exciting as the title race was, the top 6 was completely closed, like, from about the beginning of the season till end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was about 18 points separating Man U and Wolves. Like, and I mean, it's just, it's just completely wide open now. Like, and I love it, I love that.
You might get a larger disparity between 4th and 5th.
Yeah, I mean, certainly a possibility.
Something obviously needs to change at United. Struggling to get points against the newly promoted side. And they were very, very lucky that they, you know, got 3 goals in a 10-minute spell.
Yeah, I mean, it could have easily been 2 or 3. I mean, 3-0, I mean. I don't know, it just feels like they shouldn't have lost that. Sheffield United, like, they really shouldn't have done. Threw it away.
Should we get into last night's game?
Yeah, we've got the Mondays, Villa and Newcastle.
I found Newcastle this match
terrible, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it was really weird, because, like, they've not looked this bad since, like, Norwich beat them 3-1. But they did, they just didn't look like creating out. I mean, I don't know what your stats says there about dangerous attacks, but they didn't really look like they made out.
43 out of 101. According to the dangerous attacks.
They didn't feel like they made 43 dangerous attacks. It feels like they maybe made 3 or 4.
And they forced 5 saves out of Heaton as well.
Actually, that's surprising. I mean, it didn't feel like they made that many. Yeah, they just didn't look like they were going to score, did Newcastle. They never looked like... Villa never looked like they were in danger during this game at all.
I agree with that. There's some... Jonathan's been bad for him. And then they took him off and brought on Carroll, who's equally as useless this season. Alan Saint-Maximin, he just seems like all flash, no substance. Did a little spinning roulette for a throw-in. That very, very good production there, mate. Almiron seems like a complete waste of money. Just showing the disparity from MLS to the Premier League. And I think Villa should have got way more than 2 goals.
Jordan Martinez, like, I don't feel like he'd be a success in Premier League.
Yeah, I'd agree. Because you're not coming up against buddy Van Dijk's and buddy MLS.
Exactly.
I feel like Villa should have got more than 2 goals, and then he probably should have got one in the last minute, but Grealish got a bit greedy at the end. And he sort of did a last resort pass to McGinn.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, they were 2-0 up. Like, game whenever we were in doubt. But I will say, at the end of the season, it could come down to goal difference, and that could come back to bite them in the arse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they've got Man United. Then they've got Chelsea, then they've got Leicester, Sheffield United, then they've got Liverpool in the League Cup. And...
I'd run a game.
Yeah.
They've got us on New Year's Day as well.
Well, you'd probably want to play them after that harsh run of games.
That's what I mean, yeah. Hard run, yeah.
And then they've got 2 winnable games against Southampton and Norwich. And Watford, even. But yeah, I'd agree with the goal difference, especially with the hard run of games that are coming up. Scoring sort of 5 or 6 in this game would have certainly helped level matters, because they're going to concede a few against Liverpool and City.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, no, I think that's it. I think we've covered everything. I mean, is there what else going on football you want to discuss?
No, not really. There's Champions League going on at the moment.
Quiet, really.
Yeah.
Right, well, I mean, So that's it then. You got all your plug, Harry?
I'll plug my Twitter at HazardChelseaFC.
Yeah, and I'll plug mine at IWGPChrisBFC. And like I've already said in this episode, you can follow the Anti-Football Podcast at AntiFootballPod. Right, well, that's it for this week. And we'll speak to you lot next time then.